This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
There is a lot of multitasking and task switching that is taking place in the lectionary today that mirrors the month of August for all of us, I think. Particularly if you happen to have small children and you have just gotten them ready for school or you're about to, depending on which district you're in, you've been shopping, you've been getting school supplies, getting all the hustle and bustle to get that ready. If you're a teacher, you have been getting your classrooms ready and you're waiting for students or they have just started. And everything's a bit frenetic and chaotic. And if you, like me, who drive from out in the suburbs into downtown, are already beginning to lament the increasing commute time that is about to happen as UT comes back in. There seems to be, and then of course all of us, because we're good patriots, have been glued to our television for the last 2 weeks chanting USA, USA with the Olympics. And so it's this crazy sort of frenetic time of year. And this, the lectionary mirrors that crazy frenetic feeling. Started with this ongoing narrative that we've been listening to for weeks now out of 2 Samuel about David, about the beauty and wonder of his kingship, but also the horrors of his sin and the results today with the death of his estranged son Absalom. So we got that narrative that's in our mind all the time now for week after week after week. And then we're also in the middle of a 6-week period listening to the Bread of Life discourse out of the Gospel according to John. This huge existential description of the role that Jesus plays in the redemption of the world, and somehow his flesh and blood are part of that redemption. And it ties us to this work that we do here at this table week after week. Both of these ends are big and hard and complicated. And so the epistle lesson out of Ephesians is almost a wonderful palate cleanser, if you will, because it's just a list of things to do and not to do. Because isn't that what happens in frenetic times in your life? When things are moving super fast, you get out a sheet of paper, or you get out your phone, and you make a checklist of things you need to accomplish. And it's helpful, isn't it? It just sort of helps calm things down. Well, the writer of the letter to the Ephesians offers us just such a checklist today. So I invite you to grab the Bible that's in the pew in front of you and turn to the letter to the Ephesians. It's in the New Testament. We did this a few weeks ago when we first started reading Ephesians. So get there, find yourself at our reading today comes from the 4th chapter, which we'll quickly get to. But you can start at 1. It's a very short book. As a matter of fact, if you don't find what I'm saying particularly interesting, just read Ephesians, and you'll be finished about the same time I am, all right? So it might be helpful. So Ephesians, just to remind you, historically attributed to Paul, written to Gentile Christians, trying to help them understand that this life and faith in Christ is tying them into a very ancient story. No, bringing them into a very ancient family. It starts, 1:1, says we, Paul makes himself one of the Gentiles in this writing, if it was Paul at all, we were destined for adoption. So you have been adopted into the family of God, he is saying. He says, and in Christ we have this inheritance. Because you're in the family, you now have an inheritance. And so he wants us to see this relationship between adoption and inheritance. And what we're going to see throughout the book, you'll see him use the word therefore and for this reason over and over and over. And it's sort of, he'll describe something that God is doing and he will say, therefore, you should do this. Or he'll describe something that's going on in the world and he will say, and for this reason, God has done this. So we'll see this over and over throughout the book. So destined for adoption, we now have an inheritance. We're now part of the family of God. And he says that the work of Christ, the purpose of the work of Christ, is to unify God's family. This great division between the Hebrew people and the Gentile world, he believes the role of Christ is to bring those families together through the love of Christ, bringing peace. This has not yet been accomplished. By the time we get to the third chapter, he says, therefore I am a prisoner. He is in prison because he's been preaching this, and it has not been fully accomplished. Some people disagree with him and imprisoned him. And then he gets to the fourth chapter where there is a therefore. So all of this, you're now grafted into the family of God. Your inheritance is this family. Christ is the work, the work of Christ is to bring unity to the world. Therefore, he says, for the first 24 verses in chapter 4, live in unity. And he talks about the body. Live in the body of Christ. And he says that all the gifts that you and I have that we bring to the table are like parts of the body. And they all have their function, and they make the body function in a well, in a healthy way. So he says, put away your old life. And then he draws a bit of a caricature of the Gentile life, a lot of debauchery and a lot of fun things that happen in Austin most weekends, right? He says, put away the old life and take on instead the new life. This new life of unity, of peace, and of love. And so he's going to get very specific. And now we're in the lesson assigned for today. Beginning on verse 25 of chapter 4, he says, so then, tell the truth. Live in truth. This is a part of the nature of the family you're in. Is that we're an honest lot, and we're going to speak the truth to one another. And he says, and be angry, but not unto sin. An interesting line. He said, be angry, but not unto sin. Don't make room for the devil. What he's inviting us to do is to deal honestly with our anger. Because this unity and this peace has not yet been fully realized, we inevitably are going to disagree. We inevitably are going to have conflict. We inevitably are going to remember things differently than one another and lead to different conclusions. Then it's going to make us angry. So just deal honestly with your anger. Name it, claim it, then forgive each other and move on. And then he gets very specific about this one particular sin. He says, and those of you who are thieves, stop stealing. I don't know who, was he with a particular band of thieves he was writing to? I don't know why that gets to this much play. But those of you who are thieves, don't steal. In fact, get a job. He said, get a job and work, but for what? So that you can share what you have. In other words, so that whole point for all is to work not just for yourself, but work for the well-being and health of the body, right? And then he says, and put away all evil talk, all slander, all malice. And says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, there's been a lot of ink spilled over the years about what grieving the Holy Spirit really is. And marry that to Jesus saying that the only unforgivable sin is to sin against the Holy Spirit. It's pretty good to find out what that is. So there's been a lot of research and thinking about that. The people who seem to be clearest about that, they usually marry that to some very particular opinion about a particular moral issue. But to do that, you've got to pull both those sentences completely out of their context. Leave this one right where it is. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, right in the middle of this passage. Meaning that if you're not truthful, if you don't deal honestly with your anger, if you continue stealing, continue being selfish, continue being malicious, this will grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but instead put away all sinful behavior. Be kind to one another, he says. Be kind. Forgive one another. And here's the big therefore at the end of our section for today. Be imitators of God. Remember back in the first chapter when the very first thing he said is, you have been destined for adoption. You are now part of the family of God. And all of these character traits that we've been working through are the nature of the head of this household. This is the way God is. Therefore, he says, you do the same. Just as children copy the behavior of their parents, likewise, you copy the behavior of the head of this house. And the behavior of the head of this house is love. It says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself as a fragrant sacrifice and offering to God. This seems like pretty helpful advice for us during frenetic times. During the chaotic, frenetic times of whatever your life actually looks like. But you know, the Olympic season is about to end, and that's going to make room for the political season. And my hunch is you will be just as committed to your team as you have been for the last couple of weeks. And we will all, USA, USA. So it seems like this might be pretty good advice for us as we move into this season. And as we listen to one another talk, and as we learn about one another, and as we learn about different people and what their positions are and how they want to lead this country, what if we actually embraced all of these things? And we could practice with each other here, because we love each other, right? In this room, we love each other, so we could have open conversations with each other and practice these things. You might be able to practice a little better out in your neighborhood with some of your friends. It might be a little harder. I think the hardest is going to be practicing this on your social media feed. Because that's when we like to say bad things about people, right? Because no one can see us. No one can really hold us accountable. So what if this is our guidance as we move into this season, this frenetic, chaotic, anxiety-filled season? For you, at least, because you have been grafted into the family of God, start with telling the truth. And when you get angry, say so. Deal honestly with your anger. Don't steal. Instead, work. Work for the building up of the body. Put away all evil talk. No slander, no malice. Because it grieves the Holy Spirit when you behave that way. Put away all sinful behavior. Instead, be kind to one another. Forgive one another. Why? Because that's the way the head of the house behaves. That's the way the head of this family behaves with all of us. So you too, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.